This is Abnormal Entertainment.
Hello everyone, it's Peggy Christie and I'm here to give you another pod short review. I should say hopefully because this is my second attempt at recording this, because remember the last time when I did a pod short I had to record on my laptop because my desktop computer, the built-in microphone recording stuff, went bye-bye when I upgraded the software. And then the fancy-dancy microphone that I got to borrow was loaned out, so that's now out in California, came to my laptop, and I could use the built-in microphone. I think there was just a little quick, record button on here that I could use. But that has now disappeared into the ether. I don't know what the whole fucking electronic universe has against me, but it obviously does not like me at all. So here I am. I have downloaded two different apps to do some recording, and actually I already recorded part of this review on the first application, but when I looked up just at the 10 and a half minute mark, I noticed the volume indicators were no longer blinking and flashing, so apparently there's a 10 minute limit on that recording. It is the free software, so maybe that's why. So here we are trying this on this other application. I don't know if it has a time limit, but what the fuck? We're going to find out, aren't we? You'll know because I'll have to do this a third time and I'll be super angry and I'll be venting and yelling at everyone. So, just to let you know. Anyway, here we go. This is the latest M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Visit. I know, calm down. He's broken my heart in the past. He's also been very, very brilliant. So, I'm willing to give him a chance. And now that I've typed up my notes and I've been processing this movie, I'm not really sure how I feel, so let's just get to it. Let's just do a quick summary of the story itself. There's a single mom and her two children. Now, she hasn't spoken to her parents since she was 19 years old and ran off with the man that they did not approve of. She was with this guy for about 10 years, and they had two beautiful children, but he decided something else was shinier, and he left. Well, her parents contact her, they used the internet to find her and said they would really like to meet their grandchildren. Now, the kids are great with this. One, they want to meet their grandparents, but two, their mom has a new boyfriend that they think, she should be spending some time alone with him. So they're going to go off on a cruise and then the kids are going to go hang out with their grandparents. All right. And Becca, who's the older child, I want to say she's probably 14 and Tyler is around 12. Becca wants to make a little documentary film for her mom just to kind of show the whole experience. Now, Nana and Pop-Pop, which is what they're called, are pretty squirrely from day one, but, they're older. The kids kind of chalk it up to that's just what older people kind of act like. But as the week progresses, Nana's behavior gets more and more erratic, especially at night. She has something that Pop-Pop says is sundown syndrome, or she does what's called sundowning. And it is actually a real thing. I did look it up, even though Becca already did that for me in the movie. And then even Pop-Pop's excuses for her for all of this dementia activity is failing to convince these children. So eventually the cauldron boils over, everything comes to a head, and then the big truth bomb comes out, which I guess would be considered the twist in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Now, overall, I have to say I did actually enjoy it because I would like to go back and watch it again to see if I can find all those little clues that M. Night always leaves behind. Like in The Sixth Sense, whenever there was ghostly activity going on, there was red somewhere in the scene. So for this movie, I actually think it was the apple. I can't say that for sure, which is why I want to go back and watch it, but there were references to it, or there was like a cut-up apple when they're having snacks, or Becca is interviewing her Nana about when she first met Pop-Pop, and she says it was in a garden and he had a very strong personality. I immediately thought of the Garden of Eden and the snake presenting the apple to Eve. So I'm thinking here in this movie that, the apple, like in a lot of lore, does represent truth or knowledge. Now, the actors portraying the grandparents, I'm sorry, I didn't look up their names. I've seen them in other things, but I should have looked it up. Sorry about that. But they were very, very good. Just watching them in their scenes made me feel very chaotic in my head. Like, Nana has a very sweet voice and a very nice face. She's quick to smile, but then the way she acts at night when the sun goes down, it's very disconcerting. And then Pop-Pop comes off as this man who's very strong and secure. You'd feel safe with him. But his paranoia starts to kind of slip through his everyday life. And I don't want to say he's mean, but he has a certain sense of disconnect from the world around him. There's a part where Tyler is filming from stuff. He's a little further away and he's yelling out, "Hey, Pop-Pop, hey, Pop-Pop." And the man just kind of turns and looks at him and then walks away. Like he's has no care at all for Tyler or anybody else. So it is very, you feel very jostled every time they come on the screen because eventually you start thinking, "Oh my God, what are they going to do next?" So that part of it was very, very good. The kids themselves, Tyler and Becca, are actually really kind of annoying. He's this little rapper wannabe with a germ phobia, and she's very stoic and serious. She comes off as very like an unemotional robot. You know, it's the film that's most important to make sure the scene is captured, and it's like, you're 14. Why the hell are you so serious? And there is one point where she does start to open up a little bit because her brother confronts her about all this low self-worth that she has. He's like, "You never look at yourself in the mirror. Did you even know that you put your sweater on inside out?" And she, you know, doesn't even realize it because she doesn't look at herself. So he says, "You think you're worthless, don't you?" And she admits, "Yeah, you know, I don't know when that started happening." And he, of course, says, "Well, we both know when this started happening because his germ phobia and her self-loathing all started when their father left." Which, you know, a lot of times when parents either they divorce or just break up, even if they weren't married, the children are left behind and kind of have to figure out for themselves, am I the reason why things went wrong? And then they start to internalize, and then these kind of things pop up. So this is what's happening with them. And it does make them, it gives them a little bit of that relatable humanity. So they're not always completely irritating little shits. I wish M. Night had developed that a little bit more because it would have made them a little bit more relatable, but. Yeah, you know, he sort of got some of it there. And this isn't really one of those found footage films. It's the documentary kind. So I think it's supposed to just be like, oh, hey, it's just this, you know, young budding filmmaker. She wants to do something for her mom and document their trip, you know, but it still just has that whole paranormal activity feel to it. Which, you know, I liked the first one. And then, you know, they just keep going with those. And there was a trailer for one actually in this movie. What is it? Paranormal Activity number 20? I don't know. I'm kind of sick of them by now. So, which is, I think maybe a lot of us might feel that way. And particularly with documentary films, as you know, it's like, oh, the camera's only focusing on the corner. So as soon as it turns, you know, something's going to jump up. And speaking of that, I am ashamed to admit I did fall for one of the big jump scares. And it wasn't like a scary moment. It wasn't a, you know, someone just jumped up to get murdered or whatever. It was the kids playing tricks on each other. So it wasn't even really a scare. And I knew it was coming. I told myself mentally, I'm like, okay, you know, something's going to jump out of there. And it did. And I actually flinched. I couldn't believe it. I was so ashamed. I punched myself twice just for flinching. Now, saying all of that, I do have some issues with the film. Some of them I cannot tell you because they would be spoilers. They would actually spoil the big twist or whatever. But there's a one point, you know, Tyler's giving this big speech about when he was in Pee Wee football and his job was to tackle, you know, the oncoming opponent, and he froze and like just stood there the whole thing. The play went on, everybody was cheering, and he was still standing there. So naturally, there's a point in the film later where something really awful is happening, and you guessed it, he freezes. Thanks for the foreshadow, Tyler. I appreciate it. And then when he does actually break out of the frozen state, he goes so way over the top. It's like everything he's ever been mad about or ashamed of or anything that's been bothering him probably since his father left just all spills out. And it just comes off as, like, you know, you're just trying too hard for us to, you know, relate to what this kid is going through. And it, bleh. So it was kind of pulled me out at the time. And there's a couple of, like, convenient dialogue spots or plot points that it's just like, really? Do you, you know, Tyler and Becca, at the very beginning of the film, are talking on the camera while they're on the train. They're saying, hey, we don't know anything about our grandparents. We don't know what they're like, you know, anything like that. So how are they possibly going to know what is or is not regular, ordinary behavior for their grandparents? How convenient, so that when these excuses come up, oh yeah, it's just they're a little, you know, kind of losing their mind a little bit, or sometimes they're forgetful, or it's a little bit of dementia. Of course the kids are going to accept that as acceptable excuses, you know? And it's like, well, that's rather convenient. And then at one point, the grandparents actually are volunteers, like in counseling. So this girl comes to visit. Her name was Stacy. She was in the drug rehab program. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, your grandparents haven't been there for a couple of days, so we just, you know, I just want to kind of check in and make sure everything's okay. And, you know, they weren't home at the time, so she comes back on another day, and Tyler and Becca are watching her out the window, and she's arguing with the grandparents, and then they all walk off screen. And then Tyler conveniently points out a little bit later, hey, we never saw Stacy leave. Did, you know, isn't that a little weird? So that might have been a little bit of a spoiler for you guys. Sorry, I just hit my lap desk. I hope that wasn't too loud. So that's a little bit of a spoiler. Ooh, Stacy dies. But, I mean, it was just like, it's that difference between, like, showing us something and telling us something. So I was like, oh, come on. So I seriously, though, I really wish I could tell you, like, the two or three biggest problems I have with this. But if I do, then that's going to give away the big plot twist, which actually, speaking of the twist, I won't tell you what it was, but I went in thinking it was this huge, convoluted, you know, Men in Black, the government's behind everything type of conspiracy, when in actuality, it was something that was very old school and simplistic, which is probably why I didn't see it coming. I know there were probably a lot of other people that could have watched the movie and would have been like, duh. You know, but that's not how I am when I watch films. I kind of get sucked in and I don't turn on my logical reasoning brain. I just kind of go with the flow of the mood and the story and the atmosphere. When it's done well and it doesn't keep kicking me out, like with certain things like the convenient dialogue points and stuff like that. But most of this movie kept me plugged in to the moment. So I wasn't thinking, well, shouldn't that character have asked that question, or shouldn't this person have been doing that? So, but that's me. There are other people who can compartmentalize when they do that. I don't. I'm like all or nothing. So for me, out of an average of 5 hatchets, which is what I usually give movies, I give this 2.5 because there are parts that were immensely enjoyable, and I do still want to go back and watch it again to see if I can catch all those Easter egg moments, you know? And I'll roll my eyes at the parts where it's like, oh yeah, that was really dumb, or that was too convenient. And maybe I'll get to those other points thinking, okay, this is where something should have happened. My logic brain should have kicked on right here, but it didn't. So if any of you have enjoyed M. Night Shyamalan movies in the past, even though we've all been burned a couple of times at least, and you are willing to keep to give him another shot, you might enjoy this film. I think it's, for his stuff, I think it's pretty even-keeled. It's pretty average. It's not, I'll tell you, The Village sucked ass. I have to say, The Devil, I think it was meh. The Happening was just probably the worst thing ever. But, you know, I think Sixth Sense, he proved that he could do stuff really well. Unbreakable was a great story. I personally enjoy Lady in the Water. That was probably my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie. And a lot of people didn't really like it and they didn't really get it. And I think it's because he was touted as a horror master at that point. And I'm like, this is not a horror film. So I think if you're willing to give him another shot, you might enjoy this. And hey, I went to a matinee. I paid $5. So it's not like I was out a $10 movie ticket that you'd see like at 8 o'clock at night. So if that helps you decide at all, and maybe that's a terrible way to look at it, but I personally had a good time. I would give it an average rating of 2.5. So if you're willing to give them another shot, I say go for it. Otherwise, it's going to be on cable. It's going to be on computers. You can rent it probably for $1 or two later on if that makes you feel a little bit better. But those are just my thoughts. That's how I feel. I have a feeling if he comes out with another one in another few years, I'll probably go watch that one as well. Well, that's it for me. Hopefully next time I do another pod chart, I'll have my shit figured out and something will just stay and work and not be a giant pain in my ass. And I can keep bringing you guys some more reviews. All right. Till next time, I'll see y'all later.
Subscribe and download back episodes of Cinema Head Cheese the podcast, and read all of our movie reviews and news at cinemaheadcheese.com. Email us at cinemaheadcheese@yahoo.com. Search Cinema Head Cheese on Facebook and tweet us at @CINHeadCheese. And for more podcasts, books, comics, blogs, and videos, head to abnormalentertainment.com.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.